to the Rebound podcast. This is where we spend time together to learn from the experts and from each other how to build our resiliency. This is our inner muscle that helps us to bounce back and step into life with more strength, optimism, pizzazz, and enthusiasm. My guests are amazing men and women who rebounded back into life with enthusiasm. They found that tipping point, and they bounced back with strength. They found those tools within them, and they were able to shape their lives with passion. Today, my amazing guest is Teddy Parsons, and Teddy is the president and CEO of the Professionals Forum, where they help professionals, or today's professionals, develop and train them to become the best they can be and achieve success in different ways. So welcome, Teddy. I'm so excited to have you today as my guest, and I'm sure this is going to be such an amazing and powerful podcast.
Thank you, Amina. And again, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you. I always enjoy our conversation. So thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. It's really a great pleasure to have you, Teddy. And it's something that I've always seen in you, this inner strength, this kind of resilient person that shines through. And I wanted to know, actually, what is your story? What comes through to make you the person who you are today?
Yeah, you know, and you and I talked about this before at length. And, you know, I think that when people suffer trauma in any way, right, we can become very resilient, and we build a tough outer shell. And so when I think about adversity, I think about I'm a person who grew up with childhood trauma, and I don't really remember as a child experiencing much love and joy in my life. So, and I think for a lot of people who come from homes that are considered happy and stable, they don't understand the impact of people who suffer childhood trauma and how that follows us into our careers, into our marriages, into our social life, and to our, it really represents who we are. Yeah. So one of the, and for me, I think having gone through childhood trauma, I had to experience and understand that it made me a very sensitive and empathetic person. And but then, you know, sometimes being that person, it kind of created an opening for people to take advantage of me and use me in different ways. And so I think that, again, adversity is sometimes the challenge and presents challenges we have to come over, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And going through those adversities, again, it shows who you truly are, because it brings out certain things in you that you didn't realize you had them before. And that builds on to who you are today. So when you're saying that the adversity and it impacts every decision, especially childhood trauma, that is such a powerful experience to go through. I don't know if I could call it experience, but it is a trauma. And yeah, it impacts the decisions, that it impacts everything that we do, because it stays with you. It doesn't go away. It's, even though that we can go through therapy, we can go through all kinds of support systems and so on, but it impacts your decisions. It impacts everything that we do in life, even in our relationships with other people. Yeah. So with that being said, Teddy, if there's something that you would remember quite distinctly, or something that you remember that has the most impact on you today, what would that be?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I've known through my life that I've used my humor, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm a person who has what some people deem a magnetic personality. So I've learned how to use that to my advantage and to use it to protect pain. And it was my shield and sword when I felt attacked or people were hurting me. And I also realize, you know, as I think about our conversation and I think about my history at times where I was hurtful to others because I was acting out of my own pain and not having those tools and resources in order to deal with it appropriately. So, you know, sometimes they say, you know, people that are hurting hurt others. And you know, it took a long time to realize that. And I'll tell you, Amina, and I've told you this before, is, you know, this is a process. Anyone who goes through any type of trauma. And so when I say childhood trauma, it can be anything from physical to emotional abuse, sexual abuse. It doesn't mean just one thing. And so childhood trauma, it can be very different for everyone and in different ways it presents itself. And so I think for me personally is I had to learn early on who was friend and who was foe, who was my enemy and who was going to be, you know. And so I think I invest a lot in friendships and, you know, in the, my friends become my family. And so for me, I think it's when a friend hurts me, it's deeper than maybe even when a family member hurts me, because I put them in a higher level, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense, of course. Definitely.
Yeah. So again, so for me, I think having gone through a childhood where, I mean, myself, I don't really know if I ever felt loved. But, you know, and then we try to learn how to find love in different ways. Some people escape, you know, through alcohol or, you know, other devices. I think for me, mine was being a people pleaser. I always, you know, wanted to make sure that people liked me and that I had a lot of friends around me and stuff like that. One thing I didn't do, Amina, was do a good job on self-care, but that came later in life. And I think I told you before about how through therapy, which I think is a big gift we give ourselves, is I learned how to become my own best friend.
Yes, yes. And here is one of the biggest issues that people, when they have gone through such such traumas, when they want to become people pleasers, they lose themselves in the process as well. They don't recognize who they truly are because they're trying to please everyone else, doing what they think that the other person wants to make them happy with them and accept them.
Amina, you are spot on. Because I think when I think back about, you know, I'm 55 now, but when I think back, you know, many years, 20, 30, 35 years, I think about how many masks I wore. And it really depended on the who I was around. And it's exhausting. It takes a toll on us physically and mentally when we're so busy trying to meet the needs of others that we forget about ourselves. And I think we continue to shrink when we are so busy trying to meet the needs of others. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the realization and the awareness that we're doing this, it gives us our life back. It gives us our own identity back.
So, you know, and I'm trying not to laugh because when I think, you know, when I will say, you know, if we want to use the word, I started to get a backbone. And even now, when I say no to someone or, you know, I confront someone or something, I think people sometimes are take it very personal because usually I'm the person that, I will say, I finally feel like I'm in a place and space right now in my life where I'm comfortable in the skin that I'm in, but it took a lot of work. It took a lot of investment of me getting to know myself. And like I said, is I had to really accept the fact that not everyone's going to like me, and that's okay. You know, we are not going to like, people are not going to like us. A lot of people are not going to like us, but that's okay. And we can't focus on the naysayers and the people who bring negative energy into our life. I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, friends are like seasons. They come and go out of our lives. And it doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means we're growing and evolving.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And let me ask you this also. So you mentioned, Teddy, that you used humor as something that protected you from pain. Now, with the humor, what other processes or what other masks, if I may ask, have you used in order to protect yourself, but also to to help you a little bit more with your emotional struggles.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I used humor for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I think about, you know, growing up, again, I used, even though I might have suffered some pain at home, I always feel like I had a great childhood because of the friends and that I was closest to. And so, you know, in my in siblings and stuff like that. So, so I also used, you know, along with, you know, being, you know, trying to be fun and, you know, everyone liked me and stuff. I also, you know, had a time where I used on the other, you know, mask or, you know, as we call it, a mask. I think about how my words could hurt people. And I could lash out in mean comments. And sometimes they were done in a joking manner, but nonetheless, they hurt people. Yes. And, you know, and so for me, it's something that I'm not proud of. And I continually work on in that, you know, sometimes when people are hurting, they want to hurt others. And it's not an excuse. It's just kind of a fact of life. And I, so I think the other mask I wore, and where I felt like if I felt cornered or attacked, I was going to attack as well. I was going to, you know, launch an attack. And sometimes those words were harsh and hurtful. And so, you know, I constantly, you know, as I pray and I have a strong faith that, you know, that I continually, you know, ask for forgiveness from anyone that I hurt in any way, whether it was, you know, yesterday or 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Always faith give us that strength to be able to forgive ourselves and to forgive others as well who have hurt us too. Yeah. So one of the things that you mentioned, which grabbed my attention as well, is that you had an you know, like a wonderful childhood as well, even though with this trauma going on, because you had friends. What would you think about those friends? Were they your support system, or they gave you some sort of support or courage, or what did they give you exactly?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because so many of these friends are still my friends today from kindergarten all the way, you know, we're talking 50 years, 53 years later now.
Yes.
And so many of them are still, you know, very near and dear to me. But I think what those friends provided is what I didn't, I felt was lacking at home. So for me, I love going to school. Mm-hmm. And I love joining different clubs, you know, and being in different events and stuff like that. And I think it was because it was a safety for me. They were my safety net. Yes. I felt like I got from them that I was not getting maybe from my parents or, you know, from those who were around me. So I just think that they provided me that safety net.
Yes.
And even though most of them had no idea what was going on in my personal life, they were just, to me, they were so important because they, you know, they provided what I needed, what I was missing at a time in my life. You know, as children, we, you know, we don't come with a book, you know, we don't. And so we have to navigate a lot of times, you know, issues in our own lives. And we don't know how to do that because we don't have the resources or tools as children to do that. And so for me, I think they were my escape. They were like a fresh reality.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's always this wonderful when you have friends that stays with you that long and you know that they come from an authentic place and that both of you or all of you, I don't know how many you have, but all of you, I'm sure that you were and are a safety net for them as well.
Yeah, I think we created, you know, and it's, you know, how it is as you're growing up is, you know, sometimes we're deemed awkward and just being a kid, we're awkward, right? And we,
yes.
we try to navigate what it can be a very scary world. And yeah. So, you know, and again, I knew at a very young, you know, what's interesting to me as we're talking about this, I also realized from a very young age, I became friends with older women. Some women who could be my grandmother's age. But I found that, you know, within my neighborhood, there were a couple of women who, you know, could have been my mom's age or my grandmother's age, that I was very close with. And I think it's because it felt protective to me. And maybe I was seeking out something that I wasn't getting in my personal life. Do you know what I mean? So I became, also I realized that I really identify with those who are much older than me. And I think that helped me through my life about how I respect and look at the older generation.
Yes, yes. And also, please correct me if I'm off here, you know, because it just gave me the sense that with the older people, of course, they are giving you also the support that you did not get from home. But at the same time, there was some sort of like a glimmer of optimism that the world is still good with those older people in your life. How does that resonate with you?
You're absolutely right. You know, for me, I think my fondest memories of, you know, my childhood were with my then best friend, Brian, who I grew up with. And we had a woman named Millie who lived at the end of the street. We spent a lot of time with her, but she shared stories of where she grew up and her family and her life experiences. And she was widowed. And so we spent a lot of time with her. And I almost think when I look back now that she provided something to us and we provided something to her. And yes, people looking like, why are you hanging out with that older lady, you know, as a child, you know, 11, 12 years old. But I think that we were able to fill gaps for each other, if that makes any sense.
Well, makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. And with those, the gaps that were there and having this Millie, you know, like having this woman in your life, giving you this kind of support and filling this gap, and her being a widow and you're filling a gap in her life as well. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful experience to go through also. And here is where I would like to see how is that connected with where you are today. You are doing such marvelous work helping today's professionals and to people who want to grow and develop and evolve and so on. But not only that, Teddy, but you're also the present CEO of the Michigan Diversity Education Center, which speaks huge about, here we're talking about diversity, inclusion, we're talking about differences, of course, in life in different ways, races, ages, and so on. But again, it shows there is something within you that got you to where you're at today. Where is that connection for you?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the truth is, Amina, that I think that, you know, like I said, you know, people come in and out of our lives, mm-hmm. our entire life, and they serve purposes and we serve purposes in other people's life. Yes. And the older people I connected with truly gave me self-confidence and helped me believe in who I was when I in areas where I didn't feel like I was getting it. In other places, I think that it gave some security and a sense of self, and they provided that, you know, we need validation, whether we get it from our parents, our friends, our pastors, you know, our churches, mm-hmm. whatever. Everyone deserves to be validated. And I felt like, especially the two women that I'm mentioning in my neighborhood growing up, they made me feel safe in that I was important. And that I was validated and that I was important enough to the world. So, you know, and of course, we all go through ups and downs and, you know, we have people come in and out of our lives. And, you know, and I just think that so many people have helped shape me the way I am. And what's interesting, because, you know, you and I have similar paths when it comes to coaching and wanting to help others and see them succeed. But I also think that sometimes we had those, and I can speak for myself, I've had those people who have motivated me, lifted me up. And I think that it's like pay it forward. I feel like I'm in a place and space now where I'm required or it's of me to help other people grow, succeed, and prosper.
Oh, beautiful. And this is where, when we figure out how we grow ourselves, either by ourselves, by learning and reading and discovering and so on, or by people in our lives, like the two ladies you mentioned, help validating you, gaining confidence in yourself, getting to know who you are. These are all very powerful effects on us, that it shows our love for other people as well, that we want others to grow as well. If there is somebody that is has gone through a trauma themselves, how can we be there for them? Not as therapists, you know, because, you know, of course, we're coaches, we're not therapists, because we want them to be the best they can be in a positive way, and not to, how can I say this? And not to just stay stuck in that trauma that they lived through. And I feel that you and I, and for me, the traumas I've gone through and the experiences as well, these are the, when we have people like this who motivates us, who validates us, who gives us that confidence back, it makes a huge difference for us. And we want to share that. We want to share that feeling with others.
Yeah, you know, but also, you know, as I, you know, think as we're talking about this, you know, some of the things that, you know, we sometimes focus so much on others and helping others grow that we tend to put our own needs on the back burner, or we tend to keep pushing them further away. And, you know, and I recently, and I think I've mentioned this to you before in conversations, I've identified for myself that I need more love and joy in my life, and I need to learn calm. I've never had calm in my life, and I recognize that I really need to learn that it's okay to be calm, you know? And so I as we're talking, I'm thinking about how I've identified more recently about, you know, I'm so focused on work, and sometimes I think we use that as a shield to really address other issues in our life.
Yeah, that's, you're absolutely true, Teddy. You're absolutely true. And this is the thing where, yes, we want to help people, but again, we also go through our own phases. You know, we want to learn and grow and to develop certain things that makes us feel complete and feel fulfilled somehow. And this is where something that you mentioned at the very beginning, the self-care, either by learning, by recognizing what we need, by going through therapy, by doing certain things that we know it's going to be helpful for us. Some people like to take, for example, dance lessons. Some people would like to go and run a marathon, for example. So whatever gives you that feeling, that kind of inner peace, which with whatever you're doing, this is, I consider, as self-care as well.
Yeah, you know, but Amina, when we identify our self-care, we have to be open to the world around us to accept it, right? Because a lot of people will not do self-care. A lot of times they just continue to sabotage. Mm. And, you know, that's our inner saboteur coming out, telling us we're not good enough. You're not important enough. You know, so I think that if we really need to first identify that inner saboteur, the person who's trying to destroy us, our inner destroyer. And then I think once we can get past that inner saboteur, we can really start to work on accepting that we're important enough, we're worthy enough, and that self-care is something we are deserving of.
Oh, absolutely. And here, well, you said something that touched also something very important, because the self-saboteur also, I think it stems mainly also from the childhood trauma, because when we're criticized, when we are faced with physical or psychological challenges, here we start to think that, okay, we're not good enough to meet, to please those people. So we start doing that to ourselves as the pattern continues, even though those people, maybe they are not in our lives anymore, but that patterns keep on continuing until we recognize it, until, as you said, you know, like to recognize that this is the kind of thing that I need to take care of, to, I don't know what you call it, to befriend it or to abolish it or to get rid of it, whichever way the person finds possible about the saboteur or the inner critic or any of those issues that happen within us. This is part of self-care, absolutely. And this is where, whether people, they accept our own way of self-care, Teddy, or not, this is our self-care. This is what fulfills us. It really doesn't matter what they think of it. I don't know if I misunderstood what you mentioned here or not.
No, you're absolutely spot on. I mean, you know, and I'm thinking as we're to kind of expand on this, if we think about times where our inner, our self saboteur, if you think about times in your life where that has taken over, it's probably you introduce toxic people or toxic situations into your life.
Oh,
and
definitely.
So I think once we identify, and it's really interesting because once people start on self-care and they really find that that centered part that is for them, and they feel comfortable in the skin they're in, and they start to grow. It's really interesting how your mind and everything focuses. You're much more focused on identifying those toxic people who are either overt or covert narcissists,
mm-hmm.
who we allow into our life because we didn't have the skills or the tools, to deal with, the toxic people. But I think as you start to really evolve and accept yourself as you are mm-hmm. and understand your self-worth, your self-confidence, the toxic people are more easy to identify and eradicate, right? You can spot them a mile away. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you totally, because again, when you fall into that trap before that, and a narcissist, they know who they can catch, you know, and who they can serve their way of living. But absolutely, you can now, after growing and evolving and learning, you can smell them, you know, like a mile away. Absolutely.
So Amina, you brought up a really good point. One of the things is a person us being very empathetic, people who are narcissists, or we'll call them wolves in sheep's clothing, they prey on people who are empathetic. They prey on people they deem as weak. And so you're absolutely right. And so I think it's, that we need to be more aware of who we welcome into our inner circle.
Absolutely. And here is where, again, I'm not going to analyze narcissists or anything, but it's a matter of it's their view of the world that if somebody is empathetic, then they are weak. But actually, an empathetic person it's a strength. It's not a weakness. And at the same time, because it gives you the courage to help people in different ways. I put it this way, you know, empathy gives you courage to help people in different ways. So when their view is that to take advantage of that, or to sort of like put you under their spell somehow, or manipulate us or something, then again, it turns out that it's affecting us and it's affecting them, because they're not serving themselves, they're not serving others. At the same time, when we grow and understand what narcissism is, then we are playing in a different field here with our empathy. We keep our empathy, but we're playing in a different field.
Yeah. And, you know, you're absolutely right. And empaths, you know, the world are critical because, you know, they provide some calm in a lot of storms. Like right now in America, we're in a lot of storms. Yes. And I also think, you know, as we look, that one of the biggest pieces of advice I would give to the listeners today is, if you're dealing with toxic people, the first thing to remember is to step back and step out, because you can't be responsible for other people's behavior, good or bad. And you can't take on their behavior. Do you know what I mean? We can't be responsible. So I think we have to do a better job of self-care, in the sense that we can't take on that kind of behavior because then we get caught up in it.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned the advice, because this is actually I was going to ask you about what advice you would give people, or in your profession, for example, you work with professionals and diversity and inclusion and so on. The advice that you give for people who are going through what we're going through right now, like racism or sexism or anything of that sort. I like the advice, you know, step back and step out. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that, Teddy, please?
Oh, most certainly. We are in a world right now where we have a lot of cancel culture. We have a lot of finger pointing going on right now. And I just recently wrote an article that will appear in May's 517 magazine all about cancel culture and about how we need to start calling people in instead of calling people out. Because, you know, my grandma Parsons used to say, when you point a finger at someone, Teddy, you got three more pointing back at yourself. Yes. Right. So I think we need to start sweeping off our own back porch, to use that term, instead of sweeping off others. I think that we need to start identifying areas where we can improve, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then and help, because we're so busy wanting to cancel everyone, you know, and I think that we need to spend more time looking at the actions of people's hearts. Everybody, I mean, we've all said stuff or done something that thank goodness was not caught on camera or on video or on audio. But, you know, that how can we use these moments, especially let's say someone attacks us. We can do one of two things, right? We can either attack back and be part of the problem, or we can seek to understand. We can seek to understand where that person is coming from and what's driving their pain. Because people don't attack unless they themselves are suffering some sort of pain. And so I think that we could do a better job of, for our own self-care, about, again, stepping out in saying, what is causing this pain, and more so about how am I going to allow it to impact me in the way I operate, taking full responsibility for our own actions and behaviors and not taking it for other people. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that well, but
it makes a lot of sense, and it keeps me thinking about, again, what we're going through now and how it's connected to what you're doing, because it shows that with your kind of experience you've gone through and the empathy and the idea that you want to help people grow and so on, and being involved in this field, it just makes me feel that from what you have said, calling people in instead of calling them out, it just shows how, you know, I don't know how wonderful this world would be if we would apply everything that you're talking about. If people would learn and train, and even if they have a different viewpoint, how can we be understanding to each other, accepting one another, instead of fighting and just pointing fingers at others and not looking at ourselves or trying to understand what they're going through? So, no, it makes a lot of sense, and it just ties beautifully with what you're doing now, if I may say so. I'm just saying it myself.
So, Amina, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate those kind words. But also, I think that, we are, you know, because of social media, everything is real time. So, you know, we just saw the end of the George Floyd murder trial end in the jury. So everything was real time around the world. I also think that we all have a responsibility to ourselves and to others to truly exercise our role in every situation and ask ourselves, am I going into this with an open mind, an open heart, open eyes and open ears, because we tend to be in a world where we judge very quickly. And so I, for myself, in all situations, I'm really trying to do a better job of taking responsibility and accountability for my role in each situation, and not before I start pointing the finger at other people.
Oh, absolutely. And you said it, Teddy, accountability is such a huge piece as well in taking that responsibility. What's my responsibility, and who am I accountable to? Am I accountable to myself or to somebody else or to God or to another person? So this is huge. Absolutely. Absolutely. But let me ask you this, Teddy, because one of the things that I like to ask here is, with your kind of background and somebody that's listening to us today and looking at childhood trauma, looking at the development, looking at people in our lives that gave us this security or safety and confidence, or somebody that's going through some sort of racist experience, for example, or somebody that is going through some toxic people in their lives, if they have any kind of questions or anything of that sort, how would they reach you?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from them. They can reach me because, you know, I have a weird spelling, but they can reach me at theproseforum.com. All my contact information is there. It's theproseforum.com. Or they can find me on LinkedIn under Teddy Parsons, TEDIPARSONS.
Wonderful. Thank you, Teddy, so much. And this is something that I was going to also ask you regarding the training that you give and the kind of professional development courses that you give. If somebody is going through some adversity and they're taking those trainings, what would be the effect on those trainings on them in the long run?
Well, I think one of the things that is, you know, we evolve in our, you know, especially at the Professionals Forum, and we evolve in, you know, especially through our Diversity Leadership Academy and different programs, we really stress the about that everyone is individually, that we are responsible for our own actions and behaviors in the way we respond to situations and things that happen to us or around us. So I think people can leave with a better sense of how to appropriately deal with, you know, some toxic situations, and how do you resolve these, and how do you use conflict management skills in identifying, again, our role in that. And what are we willing? What are we really willing to risk? And you know, I always say to you that I have an appetite for risk, and I think with no risk comes no gain. And so I think that some people have to look and say, "What am I willing to risk?" So let's use the situation, Amina, real quick about what if you're at a job where your boss doesn't respect you, doesn't validate you, doesn't value you. So you have choices, right? We all have choices as adults. We can continue to stay there and put up with it, or we can create a strategy to get out of the situation. And maybe you say, by April 1st, I'm going to have a new job, you know, in that. So we have choices in our actions. You know, we're responsible for those. I can say for myself, I worked for someone for several years who did not value me. And I think I stayed in the position for all the wrong reasons. But, you know, we grow and we learn and we evolve. But, you know, I just say that we all have those choices and that we should take advantage of our skills and, you know, and in what we can offer the world.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I say, you know, either we are reactive or we are creative. As you said, like we can, either we are reactive to the situation and we react in whatever way we're going to react, or we are creative to come up with solutions and come up with different innovative ideas on how to deal with it.
Well, you said a great point. A word that I love is, you know, especially working in HR a long time, you know, when you do conflict management and resolution is that very word about. So, for example, let's go back to you are working in a toxic environment. What are some solutions to get yourself out of that? So you have to create those solutions, right? And create resolution for yourself. Not a lot of people, unless you hire coaches like you and I, or you go to a therapist, they're not going to be able to help you navigate through that. So I think that we have to, again, we talked a lot about self-care, and that's part of about self-care is putting the value on ourselves and understanding that we have great value and we deserve only the best.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said right now. And I think this is, I don't know, this conversation, it took us from childhood trauma to, again, the evolvement to toxic environments. And it is just filled with so many golden nuggets here that I'm sure that our audience would take from it what you just said as well at the end here to be our best. So thank you, Teddy, so, so much. I really appreciate you being my guest today. Any last words you'd like to wrap up this the conversation?
You know, and thank you, Amina, because, you know, I've told you before, these, like, to me are free therapy sessions. So I'm like grateful you and I got to talk through this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So thank you again. Teddy, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate who you are. And I wish you all the best. And I thank all the audience who are listening today.
Thanks, Amina. Wishing you a most amazing day, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Face challenges with optimism. Face challenges with courage. Face challenges with determination. Rebound to life with resilience and strength to live the life you have always wanted. 10 components that we discuss, how they come out and how they are tapped into from the stories we hear. Those 10 components are for you to own and to activate because they are in you. You want to activate them in the first face of adversity, challenges, and simply just anything that feels uncomfortable. We learn from those who had gone through challenges, how they carried the torch of resilience for others to follow. This is the Rebound Podcast.